in verse number 7. Romans chapter 8, just the one verse, the seventh verse of the eighth chapter. Paul writing to the saints at Rome, he begins this chapter with verse number 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. But I want you to read and think about verse number 7, because the carnal mind is enmity with God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The carnal mind is enmity against God. The word enmity has a meaning of hatred. The teaching in the Word of God is that if a person is still in the original state that he was born in the likeness of Adam, he's an enemy of God. They're at war. Some have used that expression to describe this. There's an enmity there that cannot be corrected except by a new birth. That's what Jesus taught Nicodemus. But he cannot please God because he's at war with God. There's a war going on. The title of my message this morning is simply Fighting Against God. Why is a natural mind said to be warring with God? Now, if we'll be honest, and if you've thought at all about these things, you'll understand what Paul is saying. We see this in the first church and very early in their ministry in the book of Acts, chapter 5. And let's read these verses. Acts chapter number 5. In the fifth chapter, we have a record of the death of two people in the church, Ananias and Sapphira, who lied against the Holy Spirit as Peter charges them, and God struck them dead right in the midst of the church because they lied about money, about some land they had sold and what they planned to do with it. But as we consider this morning this passage, the church is fulfilling the commission that the Lord gave them to go and preach the gospel, and it's not being accepted too well. The death of Ananias and Sapphira in the middle of the church, the Bible says in verse 11, great fear came upon the church and upon all as many as heard these things. A sudden death like that, and of course describing why it occurred, will get people's attention, and it did. They lied about a piece of land that they'd sold, said they gave it all to the church when they didn't, and God struck two of them dead. Now, the apostles were preaching the gospel as they were commanded, and people were being healed of many diseases. But look in verse 27. First, they put them in prison. And in verse 27, they brought them out. And when they brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you fill Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. And Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. God told us to preach in the name of Jesus Christ. You told us not to. It's pretty simple. We ought to obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And you're telling us not to preach in his name? And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. When they heard these, that they heard that, They were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Now they're going to kill the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ because of this testimony against their killing the Lord Jesus Christ, which they did. They were cut to the heart, took counsel to slay them. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel. Now this is the same man that Paul sat at his feet and learned all the doctrine of the Old Testament law. This was Paul's teacher. A doctor of the law who had a reputation among all the people and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. And said unto them, you men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do as touching these men. For before these days there rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who were slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. After this rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished. And all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. I use two examples here. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men. Let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it. Lest happily you be found even to fight against God. This is the counsel of a wise man, scholarly man, knew the law. And he gives a counsel to these Jewish people, you better leave these men alone. If this is of God, you can't stop it. If it's not of God, it'll stop itself. Basically, that's what he said. And he gave two examples where the same thing had happened. Now, who would be so brazen as to fight against God? And yet, that's the testimony of the Bible. To every person who's ever born into this world, he's at enmity with God because of his natural birth. Because he was born in the likeness of Adam, he is the enemy of God. He doesn't like God. He fights against God. Now, let's compare that to what's going on today. Who's so brazen today as to fight against the United States government? There's a threat there. One of the leaders of the Senate told people, you don't want to take on the Department of Justice. You don't want to take on the Internal Revenue Service. And that really strikes home, and there's not very many people that are bold enough to fight against the government. They fear the IRS, and they fear the Department of Justice. But as Romans 3, verse 18 says, there's no fear of God. There is no fear of God before their eyes. They don't fear God, but they're afraid of the IRS. Afraid of what the government can do to them, but they're not afraid of God. By nature, they're not afraid of God. Now, this is an indictment against mankind in this natural state. It's not something against people. It's just the fact that we're born into that state. We're born at enmity with God. We fight against Him. I'm going to use a few thoughts to describe this to you. Now, how do we fight against God? One of the easiest ways and one of the most popular ways is to deny anything that God says. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, where is God denied the most in the world we live in? They deny that He created all these things. They've come up with more theories than could ever possibly be accumulated in books. Every kind of reason, every kind of thought that they can dream up. Man came into being like this or like that. But the truth of the matter is, they refused to believe Genesis 1:1. God caused it to be written, or we wouldn't have it. These are not the thoughts of men. I challenge you to go through the Bible and see how many times God states in one way or another, in the Psalms, in the book of Isaiah, he states it many times in the book of Isaiah, that I've created all things. For my pleasure they are and were created. Over and over again, this is stated throughout the Bible. God is the creator of all things. And yet men deny that. They're afraid of the IRS, but they're not afraid of God. They call him a liar to his face, more or less. They call us Bible thumpers because we believe in literal 7 days of creation. I believe it just like God said it was. And they like to make fun of people who believe the Bible. And in that sense, they're fighting against God. I didn't write Genesis 1:1, but I believe it. I didn't write any of the Bible, but I believe all of it. Does that make sense? And that makes me a Bible thumper. Or many other things they accuse us of, just simply because we refuse to fight against God by fighting against what's written in this book. We won't fight against it. The things that are written here are for our learning, our admonition, and really for our benefit in every regard. Hebrews 1:1, the Bible tells us in this portion of Scripture about all the Old Testament writings and prophets and how God spoke through them. Hebrews 1:1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. That's what the Old Testament's all about. God speaking through the prophets. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Now that's pretty plain, and that's, you cannot refute that without some proof. Don't just be satisfied that you just won't answer it and you won't pay any attention to it. You're just going to fight against God and say it's not true. This is God's word. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Don't fight against God. This is God's record. Go to the second chapter. I preached on this a few months ago. In the second chapter of Hebrews, we read this. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, that's what the Old Testament is about. And God spoke by the angels, it happened. And every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord himself? I was studying this week the record of those who rebelled against Moses being the only one to handle the things of God and to speak to the people. And it's one of the few times the word create is found in the Bible, other than in Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says God opened up the earth. It literally means, and it says in the Hebrew, he created a new thing. The earth opened up. They all were swallowed up. They went down into the earth, and the earth covered them over. God created a great chasm in the earth and swallowed them up. That's what the prophets tell us. I mean, there's ample proof of that. And if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, how much more the things that Jesus Christ himself said. And if you deny the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he commands you to repent, You're fighting against God, whether you understand it or not. The Bible is God's word to us. We read that in 2 Timothy chapter 3. All scripture is inspired of God. It's given unto us. It's God-breathed. And if we fight against the scriptures that we can read, then just understand what you're doing. You fear the IRS. You fear the Department of Justice. You fear the police. You see that car ahead of you with those bubbles on top of it, you slow down because you don't want to get a ticket. But we just have this natural ability to defy God, to fight against Him, to deny His word, and do anything we want to do because we want to. And that's fighting against God. Job made a statement. I'm going to read this, and you read with me. In Job number 9. Verses 1 through 4, the book of Job. Job's been charged of being a hypocrite by his so-called friends. And he's answering them in verse 1 of Job 9. Then Job answered and said, I know it is so of a truth. How should man be just with God? If we will contend with him, he cannot answer him one of a thousand. You want to argue with God? You want to contend with God? You want to take issue with what God says? You won't win. He goes on to say in verse 3, if he will contend with him, he cannot answer him one of a thousand. He is wise in heart and mighty in strength, who hath hardened himself against him and hath prospered. Now you can harden yourself against the government, but don't harden yourself against God. No man has ever hardened himself against God and benefited from the argument and the contention that he raises against God. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ are law as much as the Old Testament commandments are. What Jesus commands us to do, we're obligated to do it. If we don't, we're fighting against God himself in the person of the Son. All scripture is inspired. That includes the New Testament as well as the Old. But men today fight against God's moral code like it was nothing. Thou shalt not steal. Well, they'll steal you blind. They brazenly break into stores and take anything they want. Thou shalt not lie. They brazenly lie about anything and everything they want to and discard the word of God, which says that's sin. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And they clap their hands at it. I was watching the news a few days ago, and this woman was talking about how her and her boyfriend, and she was a politician. She was a senator, I believe, a senator or representative. And her boyfriend woke up and wanted her, and she said, no, I got to go to work. Openly on TV, she said, there'll be plenty of time for that later. They're not married, and yet it's a common thing in the world we live in to commit adultery and fornication and every kind of sexual perversion you can think about, and that's against what God has said. You're not to do that, and God will judge it, and people fight against it. They don't like it. I remember that one of the first times that sodomy was declared by the Supreme Court to be something that the law, or there could be no laws against, a case in the state of Kentucky was overruled by the Supreme Court. Sodomy cannot be judged by men, and you can't convict people of sodomy. And that's been several years ago. But you see where it's come, don't you? All the restraints were taken off. Why did that happen? Because men fight against the laws of God, which are for our benefit and for the benefit of society, and they think they're getting ahead while they're destroying the very society that they must live in. Because they fight against God, they steal, they lie, they do anything they want to do. They try to change the laws to make it easier to sin without being bothered by it. Resisting God's word. Job warned us, who hath ever contended with God and prospered? You won't prosper by going against what God has taught you and his word is wrong. And yet men do it. Contending with God is sin. Rejecting the word of God is fighting against God. You don't like what God has caused to be written, so you change it, you think, but you can't. The Bible warns against murder. You hear about it every day. The Bible warns against drunkenness. You hear about it every day. Against drug abuse, you probably know several people. They're controlled by it. Why does it happen? Because they fight against God and they use this old nature of Adam, which hasn't been changed, and they justify anything they want to do, and they sear their own conscience to do it. They mock God as creator. They mock God's book as irrelevant. They mock God's judgment. But just read with me just about 3 or 4 verses of scripture. And I want to challenge you to read this seriously in the book of Revelation and see what it does to you as a person as you read this. Revelation chapter number 6, beginning in verse 14. Now, because men can't prove or disprove this, they don't accept it. But the Bible says, and the heaven departed as a scroll. As you'd roll it up like a scroll. When it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. The kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, the mighty men, every bondman, every free man hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains. There's coming a day when this scripture is going to be real. People are going to run into the hills, into the mountains, and hide themselves. Why? They said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. The one we preach to you, one we implore you to trust and believe and put your life in his care, is going to come, and they're going to cry out, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? And yet men read that, and there's no fear of God before their eyes. But the day is coming when that fear will return in such a manner that it's indescribable. To cry out to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. They know within themselves that this is real. God has created it within them. They can't get away from it. You may refer to it as conscience. But men know there's a God. They know they sin. But they fight against God and the knowledge of that. The warning of Job's friend in chapter 33. I'll just read this to you. You don't have to turn there. But in the 33rd chapter of Job, again, and this is one of Job's real friends, he says in chapter 33 and verse number 15, I'm sorry, it's verse 13. Why dost thou strive against him? Why dost thou strive against him, against God? For he giveth not account of any of his matters. Now, we strive against God most of the time because we don't understand. And we begin to question, why does it have to be this way? Well, the counsel of this friend of Job is, God doesn't give any account of his matters. And if you're honest with yourself, you know that's true. God doesn't tell you why he's doing things. He didn't tell Job. Job didn't know at all. He never got any of his questions answered. And God blessed him in the end because he was faithful. And when you think about striving against God, you're afraid of the IRS? If you don't pay your taxes? I'll tell you what, they'll come to your door with armed forces and bulletproof vests, and they'll knock on your door and they'll march right in and take anything they want, and you can't do a thing about it. So they're to be feared. But how much more, as Jesus said, fear not men which are able to destroy the body, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. If you're afraid of the IRS, how much more should you be afraid of the God of heaven? The world demands answers for everything that happens. Why did this happen? We know we'll figure it out, yet they never figure out. They still don't know why. They're still arguing about why. We had this terrible disease called COVID that swept all over the world. I can tell you where it came from. It was God sent. But I can't tell you all the reasons because God doesn't give us answers. When you think about mankind and his continuing to question the things of God, the things that God does, the hurricanes and all the tragedies that come upon this earth. The creation is far above us. We don't understand this creation. We admire it. But beloved, it's too much for us. It's obvious. There has to be a creator. This book that God has given us is our guidebook. We need no other. We have God's book. It's called the Bible. In Proverbs 3 and verse 5, the writer Solomon wrote this, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths." Now that's a simple passage, but boy, the wisdom of doing that. Trust in the Lord. You can't understand these things. Why would you fight against God when they're there and you can't change them? Then all the arguing and quarreling and going on over COVID, did anybody ever change anything? All the catastrophes that had happened in the past, all the studying and reasoning, they still don't know why they happen. They just know they occur when they occur. If you want to really read something interesting, read about Mount St. Helens volcano erupting in 1980 in the United States of America and see how quickly a large hole in the ground, similar to the Grand Canyon, was created in just a few hours. And compare that to what men say about the Grand Canyon. Oh, it took millions of years for the Colorado River to cut that hole in the ground. Well, it didn't take millions of years for God to erupt a volcano, Mount St. Helens, and create a similar gash in the earth in just a few hours. Why can't we just look at reason and understand that God is real and God's in control and stop fighting against him? Now, I've given you a lot of examples here, but let me ask you, do you fight against God? Say, no, I don't fight against God. Even God's people fight against God. When things happen in our life that we don't like, what do? We fight against God. Lord, why did you do this? You had no right to do this. I'm sorry. He has a right to do anything he wants to. And we don't have any right to question what he's doing. Now that's something you need to settle in your heart and mind, even as a Christian. Because God doesn't give answers to what he does. He's doing what is for his glory and what is for our good. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. We quote that verse. We love that verse until something comes into our life and then we just start questioning and fighting against God. He shouldn't have done this to me. When you think about fighting against God, think what a battle you've taken on. He brought you into existence out of nothing. You ever studied life and how life comes about? You'll understand that he brought you into existence out of nothing. When you were conceived in the womb, it's because God gave you life. When you breathed your first breath, when you came out of the womb, God gave you that breath. And every breath you've had since then is by the goodness and grace of God. Why would you want to fight against it? Why would you want to fight against someone that has been so good and so gracious to you to give you life, to keep you from many, many dangers, and to save you by his grace and put you in his church? And yet God's people can do that. Job did it for a while. Oh, he didn't do it openly like his friends, but he questioned why he was ever born. Is that not fighting against God? Who caused Job to be born? He wished he had never been born. Yet we get so silly sometimes, we make those kind of statements. I wish I'd never been born. I'd be better off dead. That's nothing more than fighting against God and his purpose. You're not dead because God doesn't want you dead yet. And to those that are lost, those that have never trusted Christ, the message in the Bible is very simple. Whether you look in the Old Testament, Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. You can't figure these things out. It's too much for you. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Acknowledge him. You look at the creation, acknowledge God. What a glorious and mighty and powerful God he must be to have created all these things in these wondrous ways that he's created. What a God. Acknowledge him. And acknowledge it in your problems. He's got something in this for me. There's something here he wants me to learn. If you're not saved, the message of the gospel is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that's staggering. It's not just something that you do on your own, but still a command. Repent and believe the gospel. And that's God's will for you. Are you going to fight against it? Would you dare to fight against God when you won't fight against the federal government? The federal government can only do very little to you. And really, they can be deposed real quick. God sets up kings and God takes down kings. He can destroy America in a few minutes. If you don't believe that, you haven't been reading your history. I heard about listened to something this week about Hiroshima. In just a few minutes, thousands upon thousands of life were snuffed out of this world with one atomic bomb. Now man, by the permission of God, created that thing. But if you want to see a real atomic explosion, read 2 Peter chapter 3, where God's going to burn it all up quickly. It's going to be melted with fervent heat. That's the promise of God's word. He's going to burn this world up and everything in it. So don't set your mind and heart too much on this world, because it's short-lived. Set your mind on eternal things. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Acknowledge God. Don't fight against him. God's not your enemy. God didn't write the commandments that you fight against. He didn't write them to be bothersome to you. He wrote them for your welfare, to make you a better person, to make your life better and easier. May God help you to understand that. Bow your heads. Father, thank you.